I was the center of attention. I was the focus of our sport at that time.
You know, I've often thought that I have a platform there and I have a responsibility there.
I have to pull it together because other girls from the team are here. And I was like, nobody else knows yet. So pull it together. And I honestly just did my best to pretend like nothing was wrong, because at that point I hadn't figured out how I wanted to approach it yet.
Welcome to the third episode of the Leaders of the Locker Room podcast. This is an Athletes in Action podcast all about stories of influence, and I'm your host, Jenna Leake. Today we get to hear from former Syracuse University softball player Bryce Holmgren as she speaks about the importance of being a Christian leader on her team and what her life has looked like post-athletic career. But before we start, let's take a look at what the Bible has to say about influence. In Hebrews 13:7, the Bible says, "Remember our leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way and imitate their faith." Bryce is an example of someone who lives their faith out loud, and it is evident when you listen to Bryce tell her story. She was recruited out of high school to play softball at the Division I level, and she'll admit her freshman year was hard, but it led to a spiritual transformation that shaped the rest of her athletic career.
I was recruited when I was in high school, and I went to Western Kentucky University, and one of the things that happened there was that I was in a really morally corrupt system, and not everyone will view it that way, and that's okay with me. But to me, it was morally corrupt, and so I needed out. And about 3 days into my sophomore season, which you have to remember, I had trained for the whole time, I was like, I can't do this. I would rather risk not playing softball ever again than to put myself through this continually. But the softball recruiting age is like 8th grade/freshman of high school. And so when I did that, there was no like transfer portal or anything. It was just like this old fashioned, you send your stats from your freshman year and like maybe a clip or two, and you just like blast emails out and wait. And so around that time, I had really had like a big come to Jesus, and more on that in a second, but I kind of had this big like come to Jesus where I was like, you know what? Like, I have my whole life tried to kind of like do it my way, you know, and I'm very much a perfectionist and a people pleaser. And I'm like, I've always just like tried to do whatever makes everyone happy. And I'm sitting here like absolutely miserable and lost. And so I was like, you know what, God, I'll send out all these emails. I'm going to go get lunch with my dad, and then I'll get in the word. And like, I was like, please open these doors for me. I promise that that's what I will do. And that was it. You know, I was just like, all right, here it is. I'm lost. SOS. And I went to lunch with my dad, and I came back and I got in the word, and I didn't even get to finish whatever I was reading because my phone started ringing and rang and rang and rang for like days straight. And that's crazy. Like, that doesn't happen. And I was just a freshman, and I didn't have these like out of the world stats or anything. Like, there was nothing flashy or special. Like, I'm not like, I'm 5'3". Like, and I'm like, not a big girl, I'm not a little girl, I'm not fast, I'm not really slow, like, I'm just very, like, middle of the road. And so it was, like, incredible to me, like, how many doors were open. And so I just eventually was like, okay, I'm gonna have to turn my phone off, and I'm gonna get in the word, because that's what I said I was gonna do, and if God's gonna open these doors, like, I have to keep up my end of the deal. And I did, and that's kind of, like, one of the big turning points in my life, because I finally like really gave everything to God, and I actually committed to like my part. Like, God does a lot for us, but like, you know, we have to like keep up our end of the deal, you know? And so I actually committed to like getting in the word every day. And I had no idea what the best way to do that was, because I had grown up in a Christian household and I had gone to Sunday school and all of that kind of stuff. And I had been involved in so many Bible studies, but it was like something I attended, and it was a very like head thing. Like, I knew a lot, but it really hadn't gone from my head to my heart, because I had never like really done it because I wanted to. I had always done it because I felt like that's what I should do. And that was the first time where I was like, no, like, I want to do this. And I read almost all the way through the New Testament that semester. I like did this crazy deep dive where I was like Googling things and looking at like the Greek and the Hebrew and all of this like stuff. But it was like something I've always enjoyed, but for the first time, like, I could just go sit at Starbucks for 6 hours with like my headphones in, and, you know, like, just be like so like absolutely consumed with what God had to say. And so like, I think that was like a huge turning point for me. And I went on a handful of visits, but when I got to my visit at Syracuse, my visit went horribly. It was rainy and miserable. The team tried to get together to do activities and we couldn't get everyone together. It just everything that could go wrong did. And I was out here alone and I call my mom and dad and I'm like, hey, so he doesn't even have a scholarship for me if I move here next month. But I just really feel like God's telling me I need to come here. So I'm going to. And they were like, you're joking. And I was like, no, I'm like, no joke. Like, I'm moving here. Like, I'm committing. Actually, I already did. The first thing I really did when I got here is I was like, all right, get involved with the right things. And that's how I found FCA. Like, I was involved in FCA all throughout high school and at Western Kentucky. And I found out from one of the girls that I was on my visit with that they had an FCA here. And so, like, I moved here the first week of January, and whatever the first week of FCA was open, like, I was there. And I was like, hi, I'm Bryce. Here's my story. I want to be involved. And, like, in New York, you don't generally have people that are, like, that forward about it. And so they welcomed me with open arms, literally from the first day I walked in the room. And so, you know, I got invested, and I was like, all right, I am here to do school, softball, and I will stay connected. And that's kind of the approach I took.
Similar to AIA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes is an organization that shows how faith and sport work together to impact the world for Christ. Bryce was heavily involved in the Syracuse chapter, and the influence of the organization was seen in all areas of her life.
When you move across the country, you like have this, I felt like I had this opportunity to like kind of like reinvent myself. Anything I didn't like about myself, like I could ditch. Anything I did like about myself, like I could keep, you know, I could reinvent myself. And because the first thing I did was get involved with FCA, I was able to like reinvent myself, founded in Christ. And so I immediately found like a mentor that I met with every week. And I found a church that I wanted to be involved in. And my first semester we had season, so it wasn't really that as much as in the fall, but I like stayed through the summer and I went church shopping for like a month where I tried a new church every week. I found one I liked and I got involved. And I think that between having all of that, like it was a grounding factor for me that like, I was able to grow in my faith as I like grew as a person, you know, mm-hmm. Like it wasn't just like my work life was separate from my softball life, separate from my school life, whatever. Like it was able to be something that people could see like in every part of my life. And I felt like I had backup, I guess. Like I didn't feel like I was really doing anything alone. So it was nice for me to be able to have people outside the team. Because you spend so much time with your teammates. One of like the biggest pieces of advice I give people when they come is like to make friends outside your team, because sometimes you need a break. And for me, like I found that in FCA. And so I was able to like still be connected and love my team, but also like get a break, you know, to talk about something other than softball and to be around people that valued me for more than what I could do on the field. And that was probably something I would say that I was like seeking my entire life and career is this that like, so often we value ourselves in what we do and not necessarily in who we are. And so that was like the first time that I was around people that were like, I don't care what you do. I don't care what you do on the field. Like you could be the best. You could be the worst. I don't care. I care about who you are as a human and the growth I take in that. And that for me was like a selling point. And that is really what allowed me to continue to grow is because I was able to leave softball separate from my faith life.
The summer before Bryce's senior year, she was faced with an unforeseen obstacle in her softball life. Bryce, I'm just going to let you tell them what happened.
I was actually getting ready to go to a country concert with some girlfriends who are actually on the team. And Coach Bosch, who was the one that went to Florida, I was like close with him, but he's kind of coaches from more like a managerial style. So he was like, if I saw him, he would like say hi. He like knew me, knew my family, that kind of stuff. But I was actually like the closest and recruited by the hitting coach. Her name was Elisa Goller. And she, around that same time, got a job at Penn State. So it kind of went from, like, these two people that I had been with for a few years, and they pulled me out of a really, like, bad situation that I was in my freshman year to, like, bring me to New York, and they, like, helped me get established. And so I felt, like, very comfortable. I felt like there's, like, some security that comes with when you, like, have people surrounding you that you know have faith in you. And so I, like, kind of felt like that was totally stripped away. And so I was like literally sitting, getting ready for this country concert, like on the curb while everyone's like tailgating. And I was like on the phone, I was like, oh my gosh, what am I gonna do? And then I was like, wait, I have to pull it together because other girls from the team are here. And I was like, nobody else knows yet. So pull it together. And I honestly just did my best to pretend like nothing was wrong, because at that point I hadn't figured out how I wanted to approach it yet. Later on, I was at Disney World and I literally broke my phone, and it was like a travesty of a day, but it was when Miranda Kramer, who was our assistant coach, got named interim head coach. So she called me and basically was like, "Hey, you're still the team captain. I need your help talking to everybody. We're going to be fine." And I was like, okay. And as much as I was panicked, I actually just made a list of all the girls on the team and I went and called them one by one. And I was like pacing the little sidewalk outside of our hotel at Disneyland or Disney World in Florida. And I was just calling all the girls because I felt like with everything chaotic going around, they just needed a voice of someone who was like also going through it, but was calm, you know? So I just tried to kind of literally call everyone. And I was like, I know it seems crazy, but like, fortunately we came here like to play a game that we love, and like that doesn't change. And so regardless of who our coach is, like we still have each other and all this kind of stuff. And fortunately for us, the game doesn't change. And so we can continue to just do things like we were going to. And by the time that we all get to campus, it'll be sorted out. And like, I was really wrong on that, but like, that was not the point. You know, I just kind of like approached it with all of them, like as calm and collected as I could. And I just like, I did my best to like make myself very available to people and very transparent. So like, if people were like, "Well, I'm really like worried about this and this," I'd be like, "You know what? It's okay. Like, I'm worried about that too." But, and I think that that's kind of like, for me, where my faith comes in a little bit. I, even through this whole process of like being utterly freaked out, like, you know, everything kind of wiped out from underneath you, I still felt like it was going to work out, you know? And I still had that like greater picture faith that allowed me to like step back and be like, you know, regardless of how this looks right now, like down the road, I'll get it, you know, or it might be crazy right now, but it's going to be fine. Like this will, something good will come from this. And so even as I was like freaking out, that was just kind of what I repeated to myself and to the girls I was talking to. Even with girls who didn't have a faith background, because like just in general, like people are like just digging for something that will give them hope and like digging for something that helps them to feel grounded. And so I was just trying to like kind of give them that, you know, where like they could freak out and I'd be like, it's okay though, because when you get to campus, I'm going to help you move in. And it just like gives them something to like continue to hold on to instead of feeling like they're just like drowning.
This is just one example of how Bryce used her position as the captain of her team. And being a Christian had a big role in how she led her teammates.
I would say my senior year was messy. We got a new coaching staff in September, so late in the fall of my senior year. So normally you would be working out with this coach for like 6 to 8 months and then you have break and then you go to season. And we didn't have that. And so I actually think that the biggest test of my leadership was probably before we had a coach, because it felt like there was really like no reason to be serious and no reason to work hard. And so we talked a lot about like integrity, and it's hard to make people like feel like they have to be on top of it and feel like they have to work hard when, you know, there's not really a reason, you know what I mean? Like there's no punishment. And so I would say that in the beginning of the season, there was a lot of tests, but as time went on, I learned that like people didn't look to me as like a dictator kind of leader. People looked to me because I was like able to connect with them. And I think that one of the biggest things for me was like one of my spiritual gifts is discernment. And so I'm very much able to like talk to somebody and understand them. And I hate to say give advice, but to be able to kind of provide reason. And so I think that as you're able to like build that trust and like understanding with people, that's the reason I was able to continue to lead them, you know, because like I got them. And so like so often when you're working with someone, you have to like have that foundational leadership that allows them to trust you. That's like, okay, I'll do what she says, or like, I'm in agreement. Like we're all working towards a common goal. And so I think that for a lot of it, like my faith, the way my faith is actually connected in that is because like my character at that point had been refined. And because I took things like my transfer process and allowed God to really teach me a lot, I was able to refine my character and weed out things that weren't good, you know, that weren't godly at all, that were very like all of my secular beliefs or like attributes, and really like be able to be grounded in my faith so that when it came time to be a leader, people like were very confident in who I was like as a person, you know what I mean? Like my character was reliable. And so they could talk to me about things, or they could ask my advice on something. And they, it's not that they knew what I was going to say, but they knew that like the lens that I was going to be looking through was going to be coming from that like steady character.
One of the biggest areas of life Bryce focused on during her career was not finding her identity in her sport. And her word of advice to the fellow Christian athlete is this: find yourself outside of competition.
Kind of in conjunction with that question, what kind of advice would you give to your fellow Christian athlete when it comes to using your influence for Christ on your team?
Yeah. Wow. If there's anything that I would like tell especially athletes that are Christians, is to learn to separate who you are from what you do. Because the more grounded in Christ you can be as a person, the less you have to be identified by your sport. And when people meet athletes, and when people, like, let's say like a kid comes up to sign autographs after a game or a match or whatever, like they don't really care if you played, if you sucked, if you didn't play at all, like they don't care. They just like, they're attracted to you and what you have to offer them. You know what I mean? So the more we can separate like who we are from what we do, I think the better. And as a Christian athlete, like when we live for Christ and when we actually like absorb all of the things he has for us, like that shows through. And so we don't have to like be pushy with it or anything. When people meet us, they know we're different, you know? And that's what allows us to like be great athletes, is because we're able to not like have our identity 100% wrapped up in our sport. You know, we're able to have our identity wrapped up in like being God's child, you know, and knowing that we're made for like such a greater purpose. And I think that that's what allows us to do all of that. And invite. There are so many girls that I invited when I first got to Syracuse to church or to FCA or to Bible study that said no. My roommate actually was one of them. And my fifth year of college, my third and a half year living with her, she attended a Bible study with me every single week. And she is a professing Christian now. And so like, you know, you're never, ever, ever going to regret inviting someone or sharing the word. Like, you don't have to be pushy with it, but the more we can be consistent, you know, with the way that we handle ourselves and the way like we go about things, the easier it is to like also be forward with it.
The last part of what she just said really stuck with me. And that was just one way her outspoken faith changed someone's life. Here's the context to that great story and the blessings that have come from it.
Sometimes it's not what we say, you know, especially like as people begin to like know what we're about. It's just that consistency over time. Like my roommate that I was talking about, she's known that I was a Christian since the day we met. And that's just kind of, but over time that began to wear on her. And so by the time that we were older, she was a senior, I was a senior in my fifth year. She was like, hey, you know, that study that you keep talking about, you know, I think I'd actually be interested in going. And I was like, oh, I'll pick you up. I'll drive. I'll pick up dinner. What do you want? But it's like kind of that like consistency over time that eventually wears down on people, you know, like we can't save people. And that was something that was really hard for me to learn, is that like only God can save people. And so we have to be willing like to let him use us, but we also have to realize that like this has nothing to do with us. And so all we can do is keep knocking on the door. Like, you know what I mean? Like keep knocking on their heart door, and eventually like God's going to soften it, you know, like eventually he will. And we just kind of have to trust that like that's in his timing and not in ours. But it's definitely like encouraging to me. I write down in a little journal when I have these like positive interactions like that, because I think that in sometimes it's kind of like in the Old Testament when they would put up stones to remember like the things God did like for them and in their lives. I kind of view it like that. So I have this journal that has all the marked out with like big flashy like highlighter and stuff, but it's because those are the things I want to look back on when it gets hard, you know, when it's like, oh, I've invited this person three times, or I've told them about Jesus three times, and they like still don't want to believe. And it's like, yeah, but remember when you waited on your roommate for 3.5 years?
Bryce graduated in 2019, and by the time her playing days started to wind down, she found peace knowing that there is more to life than just softball.
When I transferred, I didn't want to be done with softball. Like, I wasn't ready. And I felt like it was something that was like being unfairly taken from me. And so when I was pursuing, a change to be able to do recruiting or to be able to transfer, I like wanted something where I was going to get opportunities, you know? And at Syracuse, I felt like I really had that. Like, I feel like I really was able to like grow into who I wanted to be. I got to play softball. I met a lot of amazing people, but by the time it was done, I was not one of those seniors that was like afraid to let go. I had really come to terms with it by the end of my senior year. Oops, sorry. where I was like very okay and ready to be done with my career. And I know that that sounds kind of sad, but for me, like, I want to do a lot with my life. And so I kind of felt like I've always kind of felt like softball was just a stepping stone in that, you know? And the more and more I got grounded in the fact that softball was something I do and not necessarily who I was, that really like eased the transition process, because I was like, wow, now when people want to talk to me, it's because they want to talk to me, you know, not because mm-hmm. they want to know what I can do for them, or not because I play softball or anything like that. And so I actually feel like it allowed me to like make better friends and to kind of like revitalize friendships I had. Because there's so often that I was like subconsciously connecting that, like when somebody wanted my help or wanted my opinion, I couldn't like understand that they actually valued me. And so as I was no longer an athlete, I actually realized so much more the way that people valued me as a human. And like, that was kind of amazing to me. Like, that was probably the biggest culture shock, because I was like, holy cow, people think that like, I'm okay. You know, like people like me. And I also had like dealt with some mental health stuff in there that also like, at this point, softball was something that pressed a lot of my like anxiety buttons. And so for me to like really let go of that, I felt like there was just a big weight off of me, you know, and I was able to take a deep breath. And for the first time in my whole life, like I was the only person I was responsible for. And so I think that like my post athletics career has been a lot more like, it's still a lot of like me wanting to help others, you know, but I think that it's been a lot of like me actually just getting to take care of myself, you know, and like getting to dive into the things that I like to do, you know, like I love to read books and I love dogs. So I got one. She's sleeping right here through this whole thing. Eventually was like, well, I'll just make a different Instagram and only you seven can follow it. And then I was like, meh, I don't really care. Cause then like some of my other friends that want to just keep up with my life can follow it. And now I have 3,000 something followers. And so basically it started as kind of an accountability where like a lot of times our social medias are very refined versions of ourselves. And I hated that. I hated that on my regular Instagram, if I was having a bad day or had on no makeup, I couldn't just be like, yo, my dog pooped on the floor, you know? So I felt like on this Instagram, I was going to create it with the intention that like nobody really would see it. And so I could just be my realest, the realest version of myself. You know, if I was having a good day, if I was having a bad day, if I was eating eggs, if I was, you know, at a gourmet meal, like I didn't care. And so that's really like how it got started. And so I was like, here is a safe place where I can talk about my faith. I can talk about athletics. I can talk about, you know, the food I eat and the workouts I do. I can talk about being an athlete. I can talk about mental health. You know, I can talk about literally anything. And if people don't like it, like I don't need them.
Thank you so much for sharing your story with us, Bryce. As a current Syracuse student, it was a lot of fun hearing from one of SU softball's best, and I hope it was just as beneficial for all you athletes listening. Bryce really did take us on a journey, didn't she? We got to see what transferring to a new school did for her faith, how a Christian organization like FCA contributed to her growth, and how that affected her as a leader during a tough season. And finally, she showed us what life can look like outside of competition. I've got some takeaways before we close. First and most importantly, find your identity in Christ, not your sport. This was highlighted in the second principle during this year's UTC EVRY. We learned that the world tells us that our identity is based on our performance and what others think about us. I don't know about you, but that seems like a lot of pressure. I prefer God's way, which simply put is what he says about you. We can believe this because of what John 1:12 says. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. If you went through UTC EVRY this year, I would encourage you to look back at this section. If you didn't, take the time to research and learn what God believes about you. Next, I was inspired by Bryce's story about the persistence in her witness. Is there someone specifically that came to mind when you heard about this? I know there were definitely a few people who came to mind for me, and I was reminded of how important the little things are when it comes to sharing about your faith. I challenge you to invite the person you thought of to church or a Bible study of some sort in the next few months. It's a leap of faith that may end up being rewarding in the end. Take time to pray for courage and guidance. Finally, I learned the importance of having a life outside of your sport. Sometimes it's nice to talk about something other than athletics. Find the people who let you do this. In Bryce's case, she used FCA as her outlet. She was able to have a community of other athletes, but not all her friends played softball. AIA can function as the same in your life. Be intentional in relationship building outside of competition, and you'll have a well-rounded life. and it helps once your career is over. All right, that's all from me in this edition of the Leaders of the Locker Room podcast. If you'd like to sign up to get more resources, you can do so at athletesinaction.org/subscribe. Or to receive free daily devotionals, text the word playbook to 775-204-0404. To close it out, I want to give another thank you to Associate Producer Harrison Stillings and everyone at AIA who contributed to making this podcast happen. Talk to you guys next time as we continue to explore our influence for Christ.